Amen. If you want to turn to 2 Samuel, we'll be talking in chapter 5 there. Amen. Glad to have my in-laws in town. Man, good to have them here. I think, well, they're going to be headed out tomorrow, so I'll have to keep my wife from getting homesick now, but I think we'll make it. Amen. Amen. Actually, I'm going to do something really weird. I got a cold, and I'm going to go blow my nose if you guys find it, and I'm going to be right back. It's a lot better than the alternative, so you guys can work that one out yourself. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry if that was rude, but like I said, it was better than the alternative, so we're just going to get into the church, into the Word now. 2 Samuel chapter 5. I want to do one more thing, and I hope I'm not being too weird here. Most of you already knew I was. How many of you have a map in your Bible? And most people, raise your hand if you have a map in your Bible. Okay, I want you to go to your map in the back. I've always wanted to preach out of a map. Always have. Go to the back, and I want you to find Jericho. I know that sounds silly, but I'm going to do it too. I want you to go in the back, and I want you to find, not Jericho, Jerusalem. Find Jerusalem. And I want, when I preach tonight, I want you to know where we're talking about. You guys see it? Anybody see it? Amen. Say amen if you see it. Amen. All right. You see where Jerusalem is. Okay, now we come back to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Amen. And I'll let you know why I had you look at that here in a minute. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 6. Amen. It says, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither." I'm going to skip verse 7. We'll come back to that. "And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him." Now go back to 7. It says, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David." I had you skip down there because I didn't want to read you the end of the story before we got through the story. Amen. But what we're seeing here is, and it's, I had to read it a few times to really get my mind wrapped around what was happening here. But what this is David, and he's conquering the city of Jerusalem. This was also called Milo at this time, or Milo, whichever one you want to call it. And he was coming to this city, desiring to take it over. And you saw, that's why I had you go and look at this. Jerusalem is right in the middle, pretty much, of Israel. It's surrounded by everything they'd already conquered. But right in the middle of this, we see Jerusalem, the final stronghold of the Jebusites. The enemy of Israel, the children of Israel, had fought many battles against them. And we see that their final stronghold was right in the middle of where they were living. Amen. I want to simply talk to you a little bit tonight on the strongholds in our lives. Amen. I felt the Lord lay this on my heart. This is what I would consider kind of a different scripture area here, because it doesn't give us a lot of details and it jumps around between the story. But as I was reading there, it talks about the lame and the blind. "Then except thou take the lame and the blind, thou shalt not come in hither." And I was reading that, Jerusalem is a very fortified city. It is built up on top of a mountain. Or a very large hill, either way. And on top of that, it has these walls, these really big walls. And it's a very extremely fortified city. And they had so much, they were so sure about their fortifications that they put up lame people and blind people on guard duty. Amen. How many of you are going to put a lame guard dog out front of your yard, or a blind guard dog out front to keep you safe? It ain't going to do you no good. But these people were so sure that they were safe they put the lame and the blind up there, and they there as a taunt to David and his God, saying, "You would have, and we're so sure that you can't get into this place. We're going to put up the least qualified, and you still can't make it." But we see a man here of God that was determined to overcome. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on, determined to overcome. Because I believe that even in the strongholds in our lives, we have the power to overcome. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. First thing I want to point out is this stronghold. We in our lives are also in a position much like David's. We've developed a lot of life. We've conquered a lot of things that we may have faced. In your spiritual walk, you may have overcome obstacles, or you've overcome things that have come against you, trials or situations, and you've built up to be a better Christian, have a greater move of God in your life. But even as we build up these things in our life, it is not an uncommon thing that we find that there is a stronghold inside of us, that when we do get strong, it's almost like the devil comes in and knocks us down and says, "That's right, I'm still here. I'm still here." Amen. You know, and you may be here today and you've tried time and again to get through that. I want to tell you today that there is conquering power in Jesus. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you first about that stronghold. I point out some things that there was. It was built on a hill. It was built up on this mountain. And this city had been there. They'd lived in this city since the time of Joshua. I didn't have time to look and see how long that really was. You can do the math and let me know. But that was a long time. We're all through the kingdom of Saul and through all the judges and all of that. We see that they had this was a stronghold right in the middle of the children of Israel that was owned by a foreign group. And this every time you'd see that they would come in, it's almost like they'd remind them they were still there. I looked through and I saw four or five different places where it indicated that the Jebusites had come in and they'd attacked Israel, or they'd attacked a city, or they were causing problems, or they were trying to intermingle with the children of Israel, and yet they still allowed this city of sin to remain right in the middle of where they were living. Oh, you know, it's my desire that we could get to a place in our lives that we would get so fed up with some of these areas in our lives that we've allowed to coexist with, and we've just thought we might as well get along with this thing in our lives, this vice that we have, or this downfall that we have, and we'd rather get along with it than try and conquer with it. We'd rather learn how to just get along with it than try and just get rid of it completely. You know, there's a bumper sticker, and I hate it every time I see it, but it's coexist, and it has all these symbols of religions and people groups, and it's in, I kind of understand what they're trying to say. They want peace and all that. Amen. But I believe that we get to a place in our lives that we get so overcome with coexisting with the way things are and getting used to the way our walk has been. Yes, I've always had this trial. I've always fell in these areas, and it's just the way it's always been. But I don't believe that the children of God have to coexist with defeat. I don't believe the child of God is to coexist with these things in our lives that will bring us down. But I believe that we can be conquerors today and we can be victors today. Glory to God. You know, now in your life, there may be things that we could point out, and I'm not going to go through a bunch of them. Amen. But, you know, I'd like to look at a few things here of this stronghold that will pertain to us. First thing about this stronghold is it was strong. Imagine that. This stronghold was strong. Now, by that, I mean that it had brick, big old walls. It had concrete or whatever they had back then. It was built of stone and all these things. They had armies. They had people on the walls, people that could defend it. It was a stronghold. It was able to withstand a mighty attack. You can read in history about men kings that had attacked this city. They had their own water supply. They had tunnels to get different places to get food. And they would siege these people and they'd camp out. And the people that were sieging would run out of food before the city would. It was considered an unconquerable city, that it couldn't be really overtaken simply because you could not shut off every way that they had to get to do what they needed. Amen. This was a strong place. This was something that had not, it didn't just one day they just woke up and the children of Israel woke up and look out their window and wow, there's a castle up on top of that hill. This was a place that it had established itself. It had built up and it had become powerful over time. And these Jebusites, they had a stronghold in this place. Amen. You know, I see not only was it strong, but I see its position. I see its position is something else that is astounding about this place. It was, as I showed you, it was right in the middle. That amazes me. I'm probably going to point it out a lot because it kind of made me, I had my wife in come and help me look for the other name of the city to make sure I was right. But it was right in the middle of where the children of Israel were. They lived around it. If they wanted to travel across country, they had to go around it, however they did it. They had to, everything they did, this was right in the middle. It was right in the middle of their lives. This stronghold had established itself. They'd allowed themselves to grow up around this stronghold that it built right there in their lives. They decided, well, we can't get in, we can't defeat it, so we might as well build around it and try to get as good as we can otherwise. You know, as another last thing I see about that stronghold is I see its occupants. You know, if it would have been good old people in there that invited them over for dinner every now and then, just good folks, probably wouldn't have been a problem to have a city that they lived in right in the middle. But we see that this was the Jebusites. This is these men that, this was one of the, I believe it's one of 7 or one of 12, I forget. But it was one of those 7 or 12 tribes that God condemned in Exodus. When the children of Israel were conquering. This was an area, these were people that were wicked and sinful, idolaters and immoral. And I believe that God did not desire the children of Israel to live their life around this group of people. But I believe they desired that they could overtake them and they could come in there and take it over because God desired the victory for his people. Amen. Amen. I'll say amen if you want. It's okay. But you know, you go on, and I see that these people they desired really not to have to deal with this. I don't know why. I haven't talked to a child of Israel, but I have the idea that they probably didn't want to deal with the battle. They probably didn't want to have to deal with the things that it would take. It probably take too many resources, or they didn't want to keep fighting even more, and they just allowed them to stay where they were because it wasn't worth the fight. Amen. That was built all up to David. David, you ever heard of David? He was a pretty good guy. I liked him. He had guts. He wasn't afraid of nobody. He was a little guy. That's mostly why I liked him. But he wasn't afraid. He went up against a giant. Y'all know that. He went up against a bear and a lion. Amen. And you know, this is at this point, they had just established David as the king of all Israel. He was just anointed as the complete totalitarian king of all of Israel. And this is really his first thing that he does. He says, I'm tired of living around the enemy. He goes there. He walked straight. I believe he took his army right there to the gates. And he looked at him. He said, the man that will get us into this city, I'll make him a great man. I'll make him a great leader. David had a desire to overtake this place that had conquered, that had bothered them and come against them time and again. And David finally got to the place in his life. He said, I'm not going to live next to the enemy anymore. We will overcome. Amen. I believe that God would like for a few Christians today that would get so fed up with living right next to the devil in their life, would get so fed up with attack after attack from Satan, and they would get a mind made up. They'd say, I'm tired living next door to the devil, and I'm going to overcome. I'm tired of living and having to worry about what he's going to do to me. I believe it's today that I can have victory. Amen. I believe that God desires us as his children to find victory today. Amen. You know, I point out these things about this stronghold of Jerusalem, but these all apply to the stronghold that's come against you in your life. You know, it's the strength of this stronghold that has kept you from taking it out in the first place. It wouldn't be bringing you down. It wouldn't attack you if it wasn't as strong as it was. You would have got rid of it. But chances are you probably tried to attack it. You probably tried to come against it, tried to battle it. But every time you did, it seemed like it was bigger, seemed like it was stronger. No longer you waited, it seemed like you ran out of energy praying about it before the thing ever got gone. It felt like you'd never get over this thing, and it was constantly getting stronger every day. Amen. I want to tell you today that God will give you the victory. Amen. You know, I not only look at the strength of this thing in our lives, but often it's the position of this thing in our lives. Amen. I believe that God, I believe the devil has allowed some of these things to get in our lives. He's worked some things into the places in our lives that we're kind of close to. We don't really want to touch that because it's close to us. We don't want to get rid of that. We don't want to put out that thing in our life because where it is, we've had to live around it. We've had to go around it with everything we do. We have to be careful about our actions because we know we have a weak spot there. We can't go out too far. We can't get too far in God because if we do, we know that area is going to swell up and attack us. We know that area is going to cause us problems and situations. Hey, man, I believe that the children of Israel, I believe they had to be careful about how far they got from Jerusalem because I believe those enemies in Jerusalem would have tried to get out there and work their enemies around and try to build themselves up stronger. Hey, man, I believe the enemy was doing that in our lives today, that it seems like every time you go farther in Him, every time you get a little bit more strength, He wells up a little bit inside you and tries to bring you back down. Oh, but this thing is, its position has brought you so much torment because it is right in your weak place. It is right in your weak spot and you can't get beyond it. The worst thing about this, though, is the occupant of this stronghold in our lives. Amen. I believe that if it was a problem, it probably wouldn't be Jesus that's in this stronghold, but it's the devil. It's the things that we've allowed of the world to get in these areas in our lives. Amen. Church, I believe that often it's not because it's not your church member that's caused this little thing to well up inside of you, this bitterness or this anger or this feeling toward one another. It's not them that's caused this to stir up. It's not your past that's caused these things to really well up inside of you where you can't get over them. And it's not anything like that has caused this stronghold to take place in your life, but it's the devil that has caused this place, this stronghold inside of you, because he knows that if he could use that, he can keep you from getting too far, from getting too strong, from getting too able and capable to do something for God. So he's placed this stronghold right in the middle of you, knowing where you're weakest, and he desires to use this against you to keep you from being who you could be for God. Amen. You know, it's not all strongholds in our lives are always sins that we would think of. It's not always some horrible thing like drinking or smoking or something we think is so awful. But it could be something so as simple as you like to talk too much and you talk to people all the time about stuff you shouldn't be talking to them about, and you're getting yourself and you're letting that never goes away, and it's constantly a weakness in your life. I mean, it can be anything in our lives that we allow to get out of control or not willing to take out completely, and it can build up to a stronghold inside of us. Amen. I see that this stronghold was in Jerusalem, and this was the place that God had in mind for the temple. This is the place that God desired for His house to be. This, as we look on a little bit farther, David, he buys this land that's a little bit that was owned by this king that had of this city. He buys a certain plot of land for the temple. And you look at this and you see that God desired Jerusalem to be his place for his temple. But this wasn't just something that came about afterwards. The children of Israel already knew where God wanted it. You look ahead and I believe David already knew where God wanted his house to be, and he was desiring to do the work. And I believe that's one reason David had such a desire to take it. And you know, so often in our lives, I see that those areas we've allowed a stronghold to build up inside of us is those areas that God is really wanting to use to do something for Him. It's that area inside of you that He wants to work and to mold, that He can make it that could be glory to Him. Amen. You have a love for to work, and you desire to be to work and to be a hard worker and all these things, and you allow it to pull you out of church. God wants you to be a hard worker, but He wants you to work for Him. He doesn't want you to do these things. Amen. I believe that God has things in our lives that He desires of us, and if we would allow these areas to be completely sold out to Him, I believe we could do more for Him. Amen. I believe that David realized that this was not just another city they needed to conquer. This was not just another battle he wanted to fight, but this is something he knew that God had a plan for, and he got his mind made up that I want to have victory because I want God to have all He can. Amen. I believe today that we have a church that desires the will of God. Oh, but if each and every one of us could search our hearts, could observe ourselves and say, what area in my life have I allowed stuff to build up inside of me? What areas of me have I allowed for the devil just to work at me and build against me and allowed him to come against me? I believe that God wants to use the things in us that are the worst areas of our life. He wants to build them up to be the very glory of God in our lives. Amen. I see that God did not desire the cities they already had, but He desired that which had not been obtained. Amen. God had a higher calling for them. He had a greater thing for Israel. He desired more for them. Amen. God desires more of us, but what it takes is us saying, no, I'm not going to live with it anymore. I'm not going to put up with it anymore, but I'm tired of the devil coming against me and bringing this against me. I'm going to take it to God, and I'm going to believe that victory is for God's people. Amen.
Amen.
You know, also, this was something in a very hindering position, as I said, because this was in the middle. This was right in the place that God, that this would be in the center pretty well of where the people of Israel could come and they could worship. Amen. I believe that God, the devil has come against you in an area that you could really use to worship God. I believe he's allowed things to come up inside of us that if we could really just get a hold of God and we could really get victorious over these things, that this would be his glory. Amen. But I also see the remedy for this stronghold. And you know, it's a pretty simple one. And David figured it out. If you want to get something done, you got to work for it. Amen. I was told that a long time ago, and I didn't have a real hard life growing up. My parents, they took care of me good, but I had to work for my allowance. They didn't give it to me. It wasn't just, you know, hey, Nathan, you're an awesome son. Here's a few dollars, you know, to go buy candy or whatever. It wasn't like that. I was a good son. And in fact, they probably should have paid me to be such a good son. But that's not the way it worked. That I had to do things. I had to take out the trash. And then I might get a little bit. I might have to clean my room or do my little chore around the house, and I might get a little bit of money. And what it took is I had to desire it before I could get it. Because if I was willing to work for it, it showed him that I really wanted it. I desired it. Amen. And that's exactly what was happening here. I don't think that David was the first one that the Lord had spoke to saying, the Jebusites have lived here long enough. I believe he tried to tell the children of Israel. I believe he tried to tell Saul. I believe he tried to tell the other leaders before David. But I believe David got to the point that he said, you know, God, they may have given up before. They may have not tried hard enough. But I am determined that I'm going to take this. And it's going to take some work. It's going to take me giving of ourselves. But I am going to conquer this thing. Amen. You know, you in your life, you've tried to conquer this. You've come against it. You've battled
You've tried to be victorious, and it seems like you've constantly fell. Amen. But I believe that God is going to come by once again and talk to us and tell us what he desires out of us. And we'll say, God, I agree with you, and I'm going to man up. I'm going to get a hold of what I need to get a hold of, and I'm going to be victorious over this area in my life that has constantly been a hindrance to me to do your will. Amen. Church, I believe that we could do more than we ever dreamed of. If we could just look at our life and say, Lord, there's one more thing I could give. There's one more thing I could do. There's one more thing that I could do for you, God. Amen. Church, I'm looking for a church of Davids that will say, Lord, I'm tired of living next to the devil in my life. I'm tired of putting up with this, and I'm going to overcome. Amen.
Just because I said you're living next to the devil, I don't mean you have to kick your husband or wife out any. But, amen, I believe that God has a desire for us in our lives. Amen, you look at time and time again in Scripture that God, he didn't tell people to overtake the things that were the easiest. He didn't tell people to give up the small things, but he desires that thing that's going to cost us. I believe that David, he looked at this thing, and I was talking to my father just today, and I asked him a little bit about this scripture because I was kind of lost on a few things, and he was telling me about the man that took it, and he believes it was Joab, and I couldn't find it. I really couldn't find it in scripture, but he said he believes it was Joab. And you know, you look at Joab's life, And he was a man that had a desire to overcome. You look at different areas, and he was a mighty man for David. He was a mighty warrior. And if you look there, David says, the one that will take himself up, that will climb up, is what he was saying. That will climb up this fortress and destroy them. That man will be a great man. God is looking for you to get some initiative that it's going to take to overcome this area that has plagued you for so long. He's looking for you to get so fed up with the devil that you will say, I don't care if it's going to take anything of me. I'm going to overcome in this area. You know, and I've talked about these strongholds and these things that come against us, but let me tell you today that even though you may not have a castle built up in the middle of your house that the devil lives in, amen, I believe that we are able, that we have these things in our lives that we need to overcome. And you say, well, I've tried and I've battled, but I believe that God desires to give us the power to overcome these strongholds in our lives. Amen. It's a scripture that, and I believe it was in Matthew, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I believe this is God's fix-it list. I believe what he's saying is some of you have some things in your life that you've allowed to build up. Some of you have these strongholds in your life. Amen. The brokenhearted. You've allowed the things that have gone on in your life to hold you back for too long. I've come to preach deliverance to the captive. You've allowed the devil to bring you down and fight you down time and time again. But there's deliverance today. There's victory today. Amen. I want to tell you, this was Jesus speaking when he said that. And what he's saying is, I'm here to bring to you the victory, the deliverance, and the strength to get over the thing that is brought you down. Amen. Amen. Sister Becky, if you come to the piano. Amen. I believe that God desires his people to live a victorious life. And I don't like the guy myself, but there's this writer named Joel Osteen. I'll just tell you his name. I don't really like him, but he wrote this book, and it's called Every Day a Friday. I think, is that right? Every Day Friday or something like that. And what he's talking about is, it's kind of a neat idea that he even thought of it, but everybody feels good on a Friday. And he's talking about every day being the best that it can be. Every day being a successful day. Every day being a good day in our lives. And I'd like to have some good days in my, you know, all my days being great. But at one point, and I was told this, I haven't read it by any means, but I was told that there's a point in this book where he says that the most important thing to finding out how to have the best day that we can is we got to find the number one thing that is bringing us down in our day.
Amen. You know, I'm going to tell you what. If you are tired of living a life, a Christian life, that seems like you're fighting to make it through, why don't you search yourself and say, what is the area that is constantly bringing me down, that is constantly fighting me and bring me to a place that I got to repent again, or I got to really get a hold of God again? If we could get to that place, we'd say, Lord, this thing that has been battling me and fighting me, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to be victorious from this day on. Glory to God. Why don't we all stand, church? Amen. I believe that there is victory for the saints of God. I don't believe that we have to beg and ask God for it, but I believe that He's desiring to allow us to be victorious today. Amen. I'd ask here, I'm not going to ask much, but I'm going to ask that instead of coming and kneeling like we always do, and if you need to kneel, I understand. But while we come and we just stand at these altars tonight and say, God, I am going to claim victory in my life. You may say, oh, Brother Nathan, I don't really have someone I need victory over. Stop lying to yourself. We all need victory in some areas of ourselves. And I'd ask that we could come and say, God, give me the victory tonight. Hey, amen. I'm just going to ask that we could come. If you desire the victory tonight, let's all come around these altars. Say, God, give me the victory today. Give me the strength today to overcome. Hallelujah.